wish none of us had to be, but it is a real world we live in with real problems and sometimes some real grief. And I'm glad there is a safe place that we can come during this season when everybody is celebrating everywhere we go, and sometimes we just don't feel like celebrating. It won't be a sad service, and it's not a service without hope, but right the opposite. It's a service that offers us a word of hope during this season. I found out, even in my nursing days before I ever walked through the ministry doors, that when things happen during the holidays, they're twice as bad. They hurt twice as much. The grief is twice as profound. And those first, the first Christmas, the first anniversary, the first Mother's Day, all those things, when they come into play, can be at the same time a time to remember and to celebrate and a time to grieve and miss. So it's human. Even Jesus was human. Today we were worship planning and we came to the temptation of Christ, and I said, I don't want to preach this anymore. I'm tired of preaching this. Don't preach this. I said to Jeff, do you really think Jesus was really tempted? And he said, well, yes. And indeed he was, because he was fully human, just like he was fully divine, a great mystery. This is Advent season, and we've gathered here because all of us, if we haven't already, we will sometime experience something in our life. It's not written down in the credit column, but in the debit column. And it's okay, because we're not alone, and because God is with us, and because we are Easter people in spite of the fact that it's Christmas. In the Advent season, when the past has fled unasked away and there is nothing left to do but wait, God shelter us, be our light in our surrounding darkness, be fertile soil out of which hope springs in due time. In uncertain times, help us to greet the dawn and labor on, love on, in faith awaiting purpose hid in you, waiting to be born in due time. Amen.
We have gone ahead and pre-lit the Advent candles that you see up here, and we lit these four candles tonight in anticipation of the coming Christ. We light one for our pain, one for our losses, one for our memories, and one for our faith and hope. This first candle that we lit is to acknowledge the pain of loss, loss of relationships, the loss of jobs, the loss of health. We pause to gather up the pain of the past. We offer it to God, asking that from His hands we may receive the gift of peace. I would encourage you to pray silently at this time. Amen. The second candle that we lit is to remember those whom we've loved and lost. We pause to remember their names, their face, their voice, the memory that binds them to us in this season. So at this time, as you feel led, feel free to call out the name of a loved one that you've lost.
I have the names. I asked Dolly to print them out for me of the people that we remembered on All Saints Day. I will read those for you at this time. Geneva Adams, William Anderson, Sharon Babb, Ashley Bailey, Vicki Brown, Johnny Calloway, Jeremy Carter, Marge Cohagan, Alice Jean Cunningham, Ken Deal, Sebastian Patsy DeBernardis, Charles Farkas, Dorothy Fields, John Friedman, Roscoe Dillard Griffin, Eleanor Roth Hammond, Jeff Haygood, Claude Winfield Hodges, Shirley Lillian Hun, Joy Entvale, Marion G. Johnson, Michael E. Kander, Hazel Manis, Cherie Baker Mayo, Georgia Anna Rebecca McKay, Maud Plunkett, Lilna Prado, Jerry Rewerts, Connor Reynolds, David Robertson, Robert Gordon Rowell, Dennis Merwin Swing, and William Yates. And I want to take a moment to tell you that Bill Farkas is with us. Bill's father was one of the names that we read on All Saints Day. Bill's mother is in hospice care, is reaching the very end of her life as we speak. And her family, the prayer now is that she will have a very easy passing, and the family that's coming in for Christmas will be able to see her before time for her to cross the Jordan. And so, Bill, our hearts are with you, and we're thinking of you this night. I'm glad you decided to be here. The third candle we light to remember ourselves this Christmas time, and that is not a sin, by the way, or selfish in any way. We pause and remember these past weeks, months, and for some of us, years of disbelief, anger, down times. We remember the power and wonder of memories, the grief, the sadness, the hurts, the pain, and the reflection on our own mortality. We remember the hugs and handshakes of family and friends, all those who stood with us. And I'm going to invite you to offer us a favorite memory. We don't have to write a novel to remember people, but there are some favorite memories that we sometimes fail to share and cannot share. But here's a great place and a safe place to remember those memories. My mom was a single mom when it wasn't popular, a divorced woman when it wasn't popular. But she was good to me and made a living for us. And Christmas time was really, really hard. And so when she bought presents and put them under the tree, they were to stay under the tree, and that was our big Christmas morning. I couldn't stand it. I hate surprises. I still hate surprises. It's because I have no poker face. And so if I open it and I don't like it, you know instantly that I don't like it. And so I became very masterful at taking a razor blade and cutting the tape on the end and sliding the package out and looking at what's inside and then putting it back and retaping it. And you couldn't even tell I'd been there. I actually wore a dress to school on Friday and came home and wrapped it back up and slid it under the tree. One day at Christmas time, when she had spent her money and that's all she had, I had opened the presents, and somehow she knew that, and she cried. And it hurt my feelings that she cried, and I was so sorry that I had made her cry, and I thought, how selfish a girl I am. Rest assured, I was over it by the next Christmas and continued in my usual tradition. But I'll never forget my mama crying over that Christmas, and I was the cause of it. You probably have a favorite memory.
My father always gave We bought enough presents for everybody in the family of five, and my cousin made six. $5 and we were able to get.
Wow.
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. Awful long time ago. Yeah.
It's been a running thing in our family. When I was about my daughter's age, maybe 8 or 9 years old, my mom's fixing my hair, and I'm telling her I can do it myself and put on my tights for church. And I'm pitching a bit at that point. And so my mom's trying to mess with my bangs, and she's like, "Mary, you just need to fluff it." And so my dad walks in, and he's like, "Mary, you just need to fluff it." So I can remember times in high school and college where we would continue to just say, "You just need to fly." That was pretty cool.
We left my great grandma on in an elevator that time. The three of us were, I don't remember where we were, but she was for a couple of days. As I was approaching, probably 15, I decided I wanted a pair of cowboy boots. And under the tree was a boot box. I knew it was a boot box. And when I opened it on Christmas morning, it was galoshes. That's what I needed. Some years later, I found a Christmas ornament that was like wellies.
We lost my little brother Jeremy a year ago yesterday, and I wrote his eulogy. I've got a story in it I'd like to share. One of the most random, ridiculous, and funny stories about Jeremy involved him beating me in video games in a major way. One day, when we were pretty little, we were playing out in our driveway racing Matchbox cars for melting army men, and Jeremy found an anthill where the driveway met our rock garden. Amongst the trail of ants going to and from the anthill, Jeremy found one carrying a diamond. Not a diamond-shaped object, an actual diamond. I immediately tried to claim it, since I was playing outside too and I was older, but he wouldn't have it. He snatched it from the ant, ran inside, and called, "Dad, Dad, I found an ant carrying a diamond." My dad was skeptical. "Jeremy, if you actually found a diamond, if this is a real diamond, I'll buy you a Sega Genesis." Well, a week later, he had a Sega Genesis. At 5 or 6 years old, it was better than winning the lottery. Not only did we play hours and hours with Sonic the Hedgehog and Toe Jam and Pearl, but if I started to beat him, he would often pull rank and just turn off the Sega just so I was about to win. That would often start a fight that he was more likely to win at any cost. Jeremy was nothing if not committed.
Just take a deep breath, Hope, and let her fly.
Okay, so my grandpa, he played piano by ear, and he always tried to teach me, like, different songs, and it took me a while to get them, but I finally got them.
He could read music, so he played by ear. So
she inherited that from him.
So even though she might have something worked up on a piece of music, he'd be like, "What can you play by ear, though?"
Right. I often tell Bill Calloway, the Lord gave some of us lessons and some of us talent. Bill got both.
Great anxiety waiting for Christmas mornings and you see the gifts. And so so Mom would watch my younger brother and I, and once we reached a certain point, she would say, she'd sing me over, she'd hand me a quarter, this happened a long time ago too, and my brother a quarter, and I'd walk him up to the theater, which was 4 or 5 blocks away. A quarter would get you a movie and a drink. So we'd go spend 2.5, 3 hours at the movie, trudge home, that short in the day, and that's one of my favorite memories of Mom at Christmas time.
Hi, you're old.
When we just had the three boys, we would go down to Savannah to Nibs folks, and there would be nothing under the tree when we left. But we had a neighbor come in while we were gone and put the boys' Christmas under the tree. And when we came back, when they came through that front door, it was just, it was magic, because there was nothing there when they left, and there it all was under the tree when they got back.
There is a softer side to Neb. I can see that, can't you? I let my boys open one present on Christmas Eve. It was always Christmas pajamas that they could put on and have their picture made the next morning.
We didn't have any restrictions. Once in a while, there'd be, you know, one children that one, but most of the time, you just pick one and open.
And there you go.
Amazing what you're cleaning out the houses of the deceased, where you find some of the things that you gave them. Never used. Under the bed.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
And when you get real old, they start having yard sales, and you say, I gave you this for Christmas. And there it is in the yard sale, right?
Yeah. He was a
I remember one time my grandpa took me to Target, and so
Memories are a gift, and we should never, never take for granted those gifts. The fourth candle we light to remember our faith and the gift of hope, which the birth of Christ offers us. We remember that God, who shares our life, promises us a place and a time of no more pain, no more suffering, no more goodbyes. How have you seen or felt God through this season? And I asked Jeff to think about this ahead of time. I want you to have a chance to answer that question, but we'll start with Jeff to see, how have you seen or felt God through this season?
Growing up, we'd always go, well, both my parents were from Macon, so we'd go down to Macon and see both sides of the family, but my mom came from a bigger family, 8 aunts and uncles, 11 grandkids, so Christmas was nuts, and there was wrapping paper flying in the air, and kids hitting each other, and it was lots of fun, and those are cherished memories of mine, just thinking back on that house and those times with the family. But as we've all grown up, and those grandparents have passed, it's sad to get to these Christmases, and we don't all get to see each other anymore. And while that's a little bit of a sad memory, the cousins and aunts and uncles and the whole family still does communicate. And so there's still strong relationships among all of us. And so now some of my cousins are starting to have kids. And there's just a lot of love between everybody in the family. And I know that I can always call on any of my cousins and count on them to be there for me. And so I think about this, and I think about the legacy of love that my grandparents left. And I think that I can see how faithful they were in their love for God, and how that overflowed into their relationship with their kids and their kids' relationship with their kids. And now all of us just know what to value and what it means to love the way that God loves us.
Anybody else want to offer a word of testimony of how they have seen God through this season?
Was hanging up on the mantelpiece, and we were having supper, at my parents' house, and a cold breeze kind of came through the room, and we really felt like he was present and was with us to celebrate that particular event, and he got to see those.
Here. And I got to experience her passing and a peaceful illness. Now, I've always been a little bit afraid of death, but after seeing that and just the peace that she, it was really a beautiful experience.
I don't know about any of the rest of you, but I saw God Sunday morning. We came home, and the sanctuary is absolutely beautiful. The hard work that has gone into this, but the number of people that were here, and then to get unexpectedly 3 new members of the church that day, that was a lot of affirmation for Shamley First. That was a lot of God in a little bit of room. And so I was very thrilled, powerfully and spiritually, with the Sunday morning worship service here. The elements of worship, the hard work that's gone into making that day what it was. It felt like home, and it felt like family. And so I saw God in the sanctuary.
Good.
Jeff, will you pray for us?
If you would find in your bulletin the opening prayer, and we can recite it together. God of love and understanding, we gather here this evening to confront our pain and the pain of our sisters and brothers in the midst of the world celebration. Help us to know that you are present with us in all of our feelings and seasons. Grant us a taste of the hope, peace, joy, and love that you promise to all of your people through the gift of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And now let me read from you Psalm 42. In your bulletin, it says Psalms now, but I just have, the NRSV. Hear the psalm. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and Ermon and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep. At the thunder of your cataracts, all your waves and your billows have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because of the enemy that oppresses me? As with a deadly wound in my body, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God.
From Paul's letter to the church at Rome, was the only church that Paul wrote to that he did not start. And so we read it through a little bit of a different lens than we usually see from any of the Pauline text. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is one of my favorite sayings, text, word from God in the Bible. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. It says in your bulletin that this would be a time of meditation. But I think you've preached the sermons that needed to be preached. I think you've shown very ably the gift of remembrance. I would encourage you to not run away from those memories, not shy away from those memories, but to bring them up, to talk about them often. And on a very cold, rainy winter's night, when you just think the world is coming to an end, wrap those memories around you like a quilt. Find a holy lap to climb up on. Spend some time with God, thanking him for the parents you had, for the husbands you had, for the wives you had, for the friends you had, cousins, aunts, and uncles. Hold on tight and remember that we are an Easter people. We are a people of resurrection and a people of hope and a people of faith. I just can't imagine what it's like to lose someone you love and not have a faith that you will see them again. And so we are a people to be most pitied if we don't believe that resurrection, and a people to be most hopeful when we do. Amen.
Before I lead us in this time of confession, if they're willing, I'm going to ask Alan and Bill to play their piece of special music.
Thank you.
Would you join me in the confession which states how desperately we need God? All merciful, tender God, you have given birth to our world, conceiving and bearing all that lives and breathes. We come before you as your children. We are small and weak. We need your strength and wisdom. We are broken and hurting. We need your love and healing. We are lonely and afraid. We need your presence and assurance. We are selfish and sinful. We need your forgiveness. Come to us, Emmanuel. Grant us your peace. Hear the good news. God so loved us that he gave us his only Son. Emmanuel comes. God is with us. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn before we close out this service, which is 707, Hymn of Promise. You may stand as you are able, and I'm going to go off script and open up the altar if you'd like to come and pray, or you can pray in your pew.
Words of benediction. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not, cannot, will not overcome it. Amen.